We are looking at the letter to Titus, which is a pastoral letter, a letter meant for the congregations, and promises, exhortations. Shall we turn to Titus chapter 2? Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua Mashiach, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Amen. So far for the reading of the passage that we're going to look at today. We looked at verses 9 and 10, the responsibility of Christians who had masters over them to be obedient employees and seeking in every way to recommend the gospel to their unsaved employers. And the reason for that is given in verse 11, that word for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. The reason for all these exhortations to old and young alike, to servants and masters, to children and parents, they're all to advertise the gospel, to recommend it to people who will be watching them. We got as far as verse 12 last time. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And verse 13 is a key verse, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua Mashiach. Looking for the blessed hope, that is, eagerly anticipating. The word applies to the person who's on tiptoe and craning the neck to look further, as far away as he could. Looking, there is a verse in Hebrews chapter 9 which speaks to the same theme. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Messiah was offered once to bear the sins of many, To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Here we read of those who eagerly wait for our Lord Yeshua to come back. Coming back to Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope, that is the hope of blessing. This is how the letter begins in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Shaul, a servant of God and an apostle of Yeshua, Mashiach, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is according to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. That is that blessed hope spoken of here in verse 13 of chapter 2. The hope of blessing. Jeremiah, God speaks through Jeremiah and he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an assured end. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. The promise of a hope. Here God speaks of it as thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he does, for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. This is the blessed hope spoken of in the letter to Titus. And with that hope is combined the return of Messiah. The ancients, the first believers in this earth, were animated by this blessed hope. It was the hope that Enoch expressed. Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam, but already he and other fellow believers were speaking about the blessed hope of eternal life that God gives to all that fear him. So it is a hope from the beginning of man's history, and it's still the same hope that animates us today. Enoch, the prophecy of Enoch in the book of Jude, verse 14 of the book of Jude. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Already in the days of Adam, there were two main themes that the believers in God held very dear to themselves. The theme of Messiah dying for sinners, and the theme of Messiah coming to receive redeemed sinners to himself. The first coming and the second coming are the two major themes and occupy the thoughts of God's people from the day of Adam to the present and to the days that come. David speaks of the glorious appearing of our Messiah in Psalm 102. In Psalm 102 and verse 16, "For the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer." God said in the prophet Hosea, when he had reproved his people for their disobedience, he said, "I will go and return to my place from whence I came. And in their affliction, they will seek me early." David speaks of this in the Psalms. In fact, everything in Scripture is connected with the second coming of Messiah. There are more prophecies. Now, this may be an eye-opener, but there are more prophecies concerning the death of Messiah than concerning the return of Messiah. There are more prophecies concerning the return of Messiah than those concerning his death and his sacrifice. I leave it to you to investigate. I stand to be corrected if I'm wrong. Everything is connected with this, with the coming of Messiah. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." The day spoken of is the day of Messiah's return. Or if we go down the same chapter, Hebrews 10 verses 36 and 37. "For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry." We are to persevere because the Lord is coming back. In the context of Christian service, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. Speaking of building God's house, he says in verse 13 to 15, "Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." In verse 13, we read that the coming of Messiah is the day of the Lord. The day will declare what kind of work we have done, what kind of service we have rendered to God. Let's turn on to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Messiah will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Yeshua Mashiach. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Everywhere we turn, there's reference made to the day of the Lord, the blessed hope. James, in his letter, encourages those who have been mistreated by their fellow men in James chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. And then, going down to verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Coming back to Titus, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua Mashiach. There's a host of scriptures which refer to the coming of Messiah, literally looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Yeshua Mashiach, the Anointed One. Verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. He is the one that offered himself as a substitute for us. And we get a picture of that in the Law of Moses in chapter 9, Leviticus chapter 9, reading from verse 22. This is the inauguration of Aaron as high priest over his people. Verse 22. Then Aaron lifted his hand toward the people, blessed them, and came down from offering the sin offering, the burnt offering, and peace offerings. That was symbolic of Messiah, who had come to offer himself, who came to give himself for us, and having finished his work of atonement, he lifted up his hands as he was raised to heaven. This was symbolized by Aaron lifting up his hand toward the people and blessing them after the sin offering. As Hebrews 9:28 says, to them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Moses and Aaron, verse 23, went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. They disappeared into the tabernacle, and Aaron put on his garments of glory and beauty and reappeared to all the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and God acknowledged the ceremony with fire from heaven. Our divine substitute fulfilled the symbol and the type. The reason why he gave himself for us was that he might purify, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a special people, his own special people, zealous for good works. Verse 14 tells us that he had a twofold mission: to give himself for us, to ransom us, to save us from our sins, and secondly, having saved us from our sins, to purify unto himself a special people, zealous of good works. The first time he came, it was to redeem us, and he's coming back to receive us to himself, zealous of good works. In his parable of the nobleman who went to a far country, the owner, the master of the house, told his servants, occupy till I come. And our Lord Yeshua has given us a blessed hope that will motivate us and animate us and keep us from becoming discouraged, zealous for good works, eager to do all the good we can to as many as we can. That's what is meant by zealous for good works, following redemption and sanctification. Redemption speaks of forgiveness through the shed blood of Messiah, and purification speaks of God's people leading holy lives. The priests, when they were inaugurated in their priestly ministry, had two washings. They were sprinkled with the blood of sacrifice, and they were washed with pure water. And that's what we read about in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. That's another way of saying looking for that blessed hope. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. These are the things that Shaul wrote to Titus, and he says to him in verse 15, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. The theme that should always warm our hearts and should be in our lips is the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Anointed One. Let's turn back for our last scripture to Psalm 45. Psalm 45. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty, and in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The peoples fall under you. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than all your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad. So we render our tribute to our glorious Redeemer, our Lord Yeshua, and may we be always found speaking to one another of the blessed hope that God has given us, the hope of eternal life, and God that cannot lie promised this even before the world began, looking for that blessed hope. May that be our motto. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.